Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Jerry Butler.
I love how you said that. He's got a lot of energy today. We're here talking his new movie, Hunter Killer, which comes out, I think, two Fridays, October 25th, I believe. So thank you so much for joining us here, sir.
My pleasure. It's good to be here.
Now,
a beautiful view, by the way. Look at where this is. This is definitely Washington, all right.
Yeah. We're sitting here for the benefit of radio, so you can't see what the heck we're talking about. We're here at the museum, and we're looking out at the Capitol and basically all the buildings you've saved over the years that the Olympus had fallen and everything else. We'll get to that in a second. But I know the story. You know the story. But let's just before we get any far into the interview, just give us a quick primer on my listeners who don't know what it's about, what the story's about.
So, it's Hunter Killers. Is actually a type of fast attack nuclear submarine that the U.S. have, you know, which locates and destroys enemy subs and surface ships with stealth. And basically, at the beginning of the movie, two submarines go down in mysterious circumstances, one Russian, one U.S. Nobody quite knows what's going on. And from there, it becomes this kind of three-pronged attack. I play Captain Joe Glass, who's sent out on a Hunter Killer to find out what's going on under the ice and where these subs went down. Whereas all the mines in the war room fight it out in Washington, and we have to send in this clandestine black ops team into Russia, and we find out that nothing is really going as expected, and things unfold. Basically, becomes this incredibly claustrophobic, tense movie about a bunch of men trying to stop a machinery that's taken us to war. So, it's very exhilarating feeling, pretty much right from the start. It's you're grabbing the edge of your seat.
Yeah, you mentioned the claustrophobia, and that instantly, you know, brings to mind all the other, you know, Hunt for Red October, and of course, probably the most iconic, like Das Boot. So many good ones. But were you a big fan of those going into this, or were those playing in your mind as you're filming these claustrophobic scenes?
Huge fan of those movies. Like probably two of my top five and three of my top 10 movies are submarine movies, and because there's no better place, that there isn't a better space to put nail-biting, claustrophobic, tense, contained drama.
Death is all around you.
And anywhere in the universe. Yeah, not just death, but horrible death. You know, it's like, and we were always reminding our submariners, you know, it's not just you get hit by a torpedo. What does that mean? Yeah. You know, freezing cold water pouring in at high pressure, your body imploding, asphyxiation, carbon dioxide point. Like, it's a terrifying place to be, but also an incredibly exciting, adventurous place to be, you know, which is what this movie is. It's all of those things.
Yeah, it's not quite like the room we're in now. There's no water coming in here. It might be terrifying in different ways, but yeah. Awesome. And of course, we can't bury the lead. Your co-star here, the admirable Gary Oldman, fresh off his long overdue Oscar. I mean, geez, we've been loving his stuff since like Leon the Professional. I'm talking like way back. He was kicking ass back then. Yeah. What's it like? I mean, he probably doesn't change as a person since he's won for Winston Churchill. But it's gotta be feel he can finally relax a little bit. But have you worked with him before? I can't remember. And what have you picked up from him? Just an amazing actor like that. Or did you teach him everything? You know?
I taught him everything he knows. No, it's very funny though, because I met Gary literally my first week when I moved to London. A friend of mine was a casting director. She was casting the movie that he directed and wrote Nail by Mouth. Yeah. And I 3 weeks before, I had been a trainee lawyer. It had been a big life change for me. And suddenly I'm sitting in front of Gary Oldman, and he was so cool and humble and nice to me and giving me advice. And then suddenly I'm producing this movie, and we're like, okay, let's offer the role to Gary. And you go, how did this happen? Yeah. You know? he's a very funny guy, you know, great personality. And he's tough. He knows what he wants, but he commits. He gives you everything. And really, in Donegan, this kind of blowhard general who's like, what I love about this movie, I say that's a bit of an exaggeration, because he is, you would say, more excessive in the warmongering department. But at the same time, you also understand where he's coming from. You understand all these opinions in the movie, the different kind of intellectual ideas in the war room, the different ideas of strategy in the sub, even with the SEALs behind enemy lines. And as an audience, you're very involved in those decisions. But he really committed to that role, and he brings so much energy and power and fear to the movie, because he's the one really pushing for war.
Yeah, it's not, to your point, it's nice when even the hawkish kind of characters, everybody has a motivation, no matter protagonist, antagonist, and that's what really makes a movie sail, no pun intended. But we also got to talk about, we got Russians, we got Americans, you're saving the Russian president. Clearly screenplays are written way before current events happen, and you know, movies take forever to get made. But were you guys cognizant of that, just sort of the political things with, you know, between Moscow, White House? What is some news going to break in the investigation while we're promoting the movie? You know, is that something that you guys play into or even try to take advantage of, that it's kind of current?
Pretty much. That's the reason we made the movie, actually, is I had this script since 2011, and I always really wanted to make it, but it's a hard movie to make. The submarine genre had been made for a long time, but I knew if we can just get it off the ground and make it, people will go, now I know why I love those movies. But in saying that, even when I read the script in 2011, there wasn't anything going on between these guys. There wasn't any tension. So you thought, even with this situation, with subs disappearing, they would have forgiven each other. We'd have been fine. Right. It might have been a bit of an argument. Right. Then around 2015, we went, okay, I could see this now. You know, there's fighter planes buzzing, U.S. warships, and a lot of other stuff going on, a bit of tension. So you had a completely different reaction when you read the script. So therefore, the audience would also have a different reaction. It suddenly felt very plausible that step by step, this situation could unfold, that it could very, you know, quickly escalate to the brink of war. And then we had a movie on our hands.
Yeah, so that actually kind of urged it a little bit as a producer, that kind of ramped it up and helped the financing?
That's exactly, literally, because I called Millennium. We had it with another company, and then we got it out of there, and then it was right around then, and I called Millennium and said, guys, this is the time to make this movie. You know, because before, I was even worried to make it. I always wanted to make it, but I was even worried to make it before that, in a way, it would fall on deaf ears. Right. You know, people would go, it was fun and it was entertaining, but it was ridiculous. It's still ridiculous. Right. Like, you take the kernel of an idea and then you go to town with it, right?
Sure.
That's the idea behind great kind of action thrillers. But now, a lot of people, we've been getting all these press reactions, and I'm surprised and very happy how many go, I could so see this happening, or I could completely believe that this situation could occur, or it made me fear where we are in the world.
Oh, the timing is definitely right. Yeah. So I'm glad. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise that it didn't happen back then. You know, you waited for the right moment for it, so that's great. Yeah. So here you're saving that we have a kidnapped Russian president. Olympus has fallen. You have a kidnapped American president. And we will remind everyone that you guys beat White House down to the punch. So there we go. What is it? What is it? Why? What is it about you, man? Whenever there's a president in trouble, they call you. I mean, that's your new reputation now. Are you going to save anymore?
We'll see. I hear that guy in the Philippines has been killing too many people. He might be a bit in trouble, so I may have to go down and save him. No, it's just.
It's a fun niche, I think.
And the weird thing is, in some ways, it's saving the Russian president is, weirdly, it feels like a small part of this movie, even though that is a lot of the motivation.
Right.
But you're so involved in every other decision, because it's about myself facing off against this old Russian sea dog, this sea captain, you know, this chess game between me and this other submarine captain, but the trust between me and my crew, the tension there, because I don't know them, it's my first time in command, and we're thrown into this hellish situation, and they are questioning every move I make, and quite frankly, quite rightly so, because I'm making some wacky decisions. But it's if there ever was a time to think outside the box, this is it, you know. So as an audience, you're completely... wrapped up in that drama, you know, and in that, you're kind of like, you're stuck in that room. There's no escape.
And speaking of that, you've mentioned the claustrophobia, but dote on your director for a little bit. What made working with him so great compared to, let's say, I don't know, Fuqua or other ones in the past?
So I watched Donovan's movie, I Number Number. I interviewed 10 directors for this movie, and it was going on over a couple of years. And then, weirdly enough, I got this little South African movie, this kind of fun little thriller. But I thought, I'm not going to like this. It looks cheap. And then I start watching. I was training in the gym, and then 10 minutes in, I go, oh, this is kind of cool. And there was a... there was such a presence and an energy to the way he moved the camera and how tight it was in the editing and how it brought you into this, again, that made the story very claustrophobic, you know, and he had a beautiful way cinematically that he moved.
It made you work up a sweat even when you weren't on the treadmill.
Work up a sweat. Even, you know, and to us, if we're going to make a submarine movie, one, it's a classic genre, but if you use a classic filmmaker, it's going to be a little classic, a little too classic.
Right.
And he felt like somebody that could break out that room, you know, bring it into the room and then break it out that room. And then we met and we had a great meeting. But I'll tell you what sealed it. And actually it's what got me 300 was when I went the extra step, didn't just do the meeting, but I ended up calling Alan Horn at Warner Brothers and said, you have to know how much I care about this. And that's what he did. He wrote me this letter and he said, I just want you to know, I know we had a good meeting, but I love this project and I'm the man for this. And I was like, okay, that wins it for me every time, you know. And by the way, that's what he was like. I've never met such a hardworking, passionate, involved director. And he was great. No ego, because he understood his limitations of not having made a big movie before, sure, where he could kind of hand it over and say, you know, help.
Yeah. And when he wrote you that letter, did he end it with P.S. I love you, or what did he? No. That was low hanging fruit. Yeah. But you mentioned 300, and of course, I'm always curious. Is that like a conscious thing? I mean, a lot of actors do it, but you've proven really adept at it. To go, I'm gonna go the macho roles here for a little bit here with 300 and Sparta and all that, and then I'm gonna switch it back and woo over the ladies with some rom coms with P.S. I love you or The Ugly Truth or hell, even Phantom of the Opera. I mean, must have ladies swooning over that one. So yeah. Is that a conscious thing to try to go a little of both and keep the range going?
Yeah, I try to do all sorts of movies, you know, even from like my Dear Frankies or Family Man, you know, where you're playing a father and some kind of bonding with his kid, you know, in Family Man, my kid had leukemia, you know, and then Coriolanus, where I was doing Shakespeare, animated movies, you know, How to Train Your Dragon. I love to keep it. I'm definitely best known for the action realm. But if I was only to do that, I would get incredibly bored, you know. So it's I'm lucky enough to be able to play those different roles and therefore, you know, to move from action into romantic comedy into some weird, quirky psychological thriller, you know.
And a musical.
Or a musical. Yeah. You know, my musical. I need to do a musical again. It's time.
It's been a while. What was that, 2004, 2005?
2003.
Do you keep your pipes? How do you keep the pipes going?
No, not as much as I used to. You know, one of the fortunate things about Phantom was I always just sang, just for me, for fun. So
like in the shower.
And I was a shower singer, you know, and it was kind of, and then suddenly I had to sing Music of the Night for Andrew Lloyd Webber. And by that point, I think I did two singing lessons. I took my first singing lesson for Phantom of the Opera. But I can't say that I sing as much as I used to. And being back in New York, I was just thinking the other day, I need to start going and taking singing lessons just for the hell of it, just for fun, because it's a nice muscle to kind of keep toned.
Yeah, you're working the other muscles here. Now let's keep that muscle. Yeah. Well, that's interesting you said that to me. That sparked something. So what if you could do a musical? You said you want to do another one. What would be the dream one if it ever came down the pike?
And maybe it's a little too old-fashioned, but I love The Music Man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a great... And I don't know if maybe there's a way to update that or something, but I love the idea of you know, going to Ohio, you know, and pulling off something like that. But
I'd like to see that. And well, all right, well, I always like to end with some just fun off the wall question with your filmography. But if you could place your Phantom on this sub in Hunter Killer, if he's not singing Music of the Night, what would that song go like? I'm working other muscles for you. What would that song title be? Music of the.
Oh yeah. No, God, I don't know. You know, the Phantom of the Opera is here, but where the hell is that sub?
That is so great. We can't top that. Let's cut it there. Again, everybody, it's called Hunter Killer. Gerard Butler, thank you so much. You're great.
Thank you.